Famous?
Famous.
Famous?
Famous.
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 Famous. Can you repeat the word?
Famous.
Famous. I still think it's T-H-A-M-O-U-S.
Yeah.
You lose!
Oh, let's start this thing! It is Tuesday night, and we are live, everybody in Austin, Texas, for Night Attack! Bringing you the best of the worst of the internet, ever tense. I'm very tense.
Every tense. Yeah, future, past, and present.
Present, future. Hello, beautiful people. I'm Brian Brushwood, live in Austin, Texas. Joined live in Austin, Texas by my BFF from AUS. It's JRY. What's going on, Justin?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God, Brian. We had a hell of a show.
They said it couldn't be
done. Well, we don't have guests anymore. Because
we only have friends. We don't have guests we know we're friends with.
We have friends. And joining us is probably one of, I think, the most anticipated guests we've had on here in a very long time.
Dude.
Ladies and gentlemen, for No Agenda Show, it is Adam Curry,
everybody.
Dicks out for Harambe.
Yeah.
Dicks at night.
Been waiting for 3 fucking hours to say that.
Dicks out for Harambe.
Right.
Oh, speaking of which, should we just jump? So you saw our bet about whether or not we had reached peak Harambe. Did you see this?
I heard you talking about peak Harambe, I don't know what the bet is.
All right, so the bet was 2 weeks ago. We were arguing, first of all, we were trying to figure out where this weird meme of the dicks out for Harambe thing came from. But
I heard it today on, I swear to God, it was like on some serious channel.
The Big Bang Theory.
Like NPR.
No.
Like on the media.
No, what's the gay Hillary channel? Progressive.
MSNBC?
the white gay guy Hillary channel. That's Progressive 127 on Sirius.
Got it.
Michelangelo Signorelli.
So the question was, at the time, had we reached peak Harambe? Because if you looked on the Google Trends search, had reached, it was almost bigger than the initial search
No, it's already gotten bigger than the initial news.
Harambe is bigger now,
yes.
than he was when
he initially died.
Yeah, okay.
When it was an actual, like, oh my God, did the zookeepers do the right thing?
Right,
I don't know.
Right.
And now that he's a joke, he's way bigger.
So
People talk about him way more.
I bet yet another stake in my increasingly tall stack of stakes. I'm just going to buy a cow to Justin to settle debts. I bet that 2 weeks ago we would be at a lower point now in Harambe popularity than we were.
But you're checking your popularity on the keyword
No,
Harambe?
No, Google Trends.
Just
Google
the trends. About how many people are typing it in. Wow. And Bryce,
There's new information.
What?
About Harambe?
Yes, today.
Is the second shooter? It was.
I'm in the right show. Very good.
So to speak?
What?
So to speak, because there's a baby gorilla.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, the Chinese
China.
Zoo. Yeah.
Harambe McHarambe face is what they named him.
Which is also not real. BuzzFeed had an article that said, hey, it was actually kind of did not ever happen.
What?
It didn't happen.
They didn't actually name him that?
No.
No, they didn't even have the contest.
No, it's a fake contest about a fake gorilla in a fake country
called
China.
It's a conspiracy.
China. Allegedly.
Have you ever been to China? Have you ever seen a
Hold
Chinese?
Hold on, man. Why don't you check Snopes? They know what's up.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Snopes will know, man. Those guys know what's up.
All right, so here we go. Let me ask you, Adam.
Yeah,
what's your bet?
Do you feel that we have already hit peak Harambe, or are we still escalating?
No, I think it's still escalating because I'm getting into it now.
I'm
a little late to the party, but I think I can get it. Did you not see my tweet for the show?
Yeah, I did.
Dicks out for Harambe.
Yeah. I'm trying to.
All of everybody, their dicks. Listen, my Snapchat is Justin R. Young. Go ahead, and if your dick is out for Harambe, prove it.
By the way, we asked Bonnie why she thought the dicks out for Harambe thing was a meme, and her answer was because penises look like dead gorillas. That's what you said. Am I the only one who remembered that?
Well, I remember you put it like that. You make me sound like a monster. Yeah. Oh my God.
Actually, the right response is technically I said your dick looks like a dick.
All right, so let's go to the Google Trends.
Google Trends, ladies and gentlemen.
So we last checked on August 31st. Where in a 12 months,
with this, I just see
it calls it at 88% of peak.
So
as of what they estimate for this week,
we're lean of peak.
We are at 68%.
From September 11th to the 17th.
So this week, as of this week, Harambe, we've reached peak Harambe.
We're past peak Harambe.
I think we can see a double dip. I think we can see a double
It could go
formation.
Back up.
It could totally it could have a reversal.
How could we reignite America's love for Harambe?
You guys can't hatch a plan. That's not
Why
fair.
Not? Number
I
one.
I won fair and square.
Hey, I forgot it was a bet. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I got it.
I didn't step in when you brought up the dead dick gorilla
all
thing.
All right, that's fine. Go ahead.
How do you think we could recapture America's Triple love for this Harambe. Dead this dead gorilla? I feel like we need something. We need like a movie.
What about
a song?
Can we have
Young Thug actually has a song called Harambe out now.
Can we do a presidential pardon for the shooter of Harambe?
By the way, collect on joint.
God
collect on joint.
God damn it. I was wrong.
What did you think?
I thought it was something USB connected. I was sure.
I grew up in Amsterdam.
Yeah.
So all right. Yeah, so here, let's bring this in now. Brian and Adam are texting to.
Thank God I got you off Harambe.
Knock out the logistics and stuff.
Now it's Harganje. No, never mind. Sorry.
Jesus.
Sorry.
Take it back.
And all of a sudden, he's like, "Oh, hey, listen, do you mind if I bring weed?" And it becomes a conversation.
No.
On
no, no,
what?
No. It started off.
Okay.
The invitation for the show.
Yes.
And I said, I know the show. It's a fun show.
Yep.
It also has the initials NA, like no agenda.
Correct.
Night attack. So, you know.
Which, by the way, there was a bit of a conversation. Is it a no attack or a night agenda? And I think we came down on team night agenda.
I like night agenda.
Yeah, night agenda.
Oh, yeah, much
good.
Better.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, these guys get drunk on the show, or at least you're drinking. I mean, and I get drunk very quickly.
Yeah.
And so Dvorak said, you know, you shouldn't have more than two. And I said, so I can work with weed. I can fly helicopters on weed. I can do anything on weed.
Have you flown a helicopter?
Yes, I have.
High as fuck.
I can't make a sentence on weed. I don't understand.
Again, Amsterdam.
Okay, all right.
I grew up,
all right,
I grew up right. with it. But yeah, but when I have a helicopter license.
Uh-huh.
And after flying, my instructor sometimes he'd be with me, and we'd sit in my house, and I'd smoke a joint. He says, "Hey man, why don't you see how you do after you smoke that joint?" I'm like, "Well, he's gonna go with me, of course."
Sure, sure,
yeah.
Sure.
Hell
so,
yeah.
So you got an adult on the other controls.
Yeah, and it was best landing ever.
No kidding.
Oh yeah,
smooth.
Yeah. Completely.
Paying attention to all the details.
It was like,
yeah.
Just kiss the ground.
So what is it that you find that it does? Like, they just it seems like a time machine. Everything slows down, so you got plenty of time to correct as you're landing.
You can control your mind on weed. You can tell it what to do. It can be sharp. It can be laid back.
I think he's got some good weed.
Oh, yeah.
You're like, that's a problem, Brian. You've been having stank shit.
Yeah, there's someone. If you Google Adam Curry in my plane, Adam Curry airplane joint. You can see a picture. I had my airplane.
Of you
there
smoking.
It is. All right. Well, wait for it.
Yeah, you got to find it. No, it's like a close up.
Turns out there's a bit of noise.
Wow.
When you type in Adam Curry joint.
No, plane joint, right?
PLANE.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, PL. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just plain.
Plain. I still think you spell that with a TH.
Has
it been buried
into
now?
that emerging branded weed phenomenon as more and more states? You don't want to have your
own
branded
weed?
Why not? No. I want to have my
own branded
weed.
Austin, Texas. I'm not going to compete with Willie. He's a fucking master.
Well, okay.
No.
You could be Pepsi to his Coke, though.
No, I don't think so.
You're like,
no.
Choice of a new generation.
I don't think so.
Austin would have some great branded weed, right?
Sure.
Like Willie, The Undertaker, Adam Curry. I'd be like, this is
what maximum
expensive. Dude.
Maximum paranoia, you get the Alex Jones weed.
Yeah.
But you know, if you go to Washington, and Dvorak has a house up there.
Right.
And weed is legal there. Do you know who's in the dispensaries?
Willie Nelson.
Old ladies.
Oh, dude.
Old ladies. Because they, the arthritis, the weed helps so much more. And they're like, I'm never going to take the medication from the doctor anymore.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, I'm in Oakland. You want to know who's mostly that I see all the time in the dispensaries in Oakland? mm-hmm. literally everybody. Just a revolving door. Literally everybody in the city.
Nice. I'm just nice. Imagining a pug, like, you know, in line, or a Dachshund, or
a Dachshund,
a Dachshund,
a wiener dog.
I'm reading it in my mind.
The cush is already too loud.
You had a hit of this. Maybe you'd be able to. Well, okay, so let's take bets. How long until we see nationwide legalization of weed, do you think?
I mean, you can't really have. First of all, it's a federal offense still, you know, which is nutty.
Sure, it's technically classified as a Schedule One. Yeah, heroin. Same as heroin, right?
That's, you know, okay.
Insane, right?
Yeah. So that's problem one, but. You know, just all the states have to do it individually. I'm surprised about Texas. I'm a little disappointed of all the things we can do here, of all the freedoms that I love about Texas. You know,
sure.
Really? You know, and Willie Nelson is your number one guy?
I don't think we've had a ballot initiative yet.
Everybody just looks the other way.
Willie gets arrested plenty of times, you know, to make an example out of him. Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, it's kind of shitty.
I don't know. No.
Well, I mean, I know Florida came close, but they had to have like a super. They fell. They had a majority. They didn't have like the super majority that they needed to get it legalized. But even like they still have some medical clearances, I guess. Now, like, it's happening everywhere. Like, it's just a matter of time.
That is the most remarkable, I think, big political thing that's happened in my lifetime is watching the repeal of prohibition at least for marijuana happening like live. That's extraordinary.
I got to tell you, I grew up along the border, and I feel like there's a fear.
Texas border?
Yeah, the Texas border. I feel like there's a fear of what would happen if all of a sudden we legalize things and that total income that happens along the borders.
Ah, I'm glad you brought that up, because I know what's happening with that. I figured it out when Trump went to Mexico. I figured out, of course I know what he was doing there.
He's buying pot.
No. First of all, the new president in Mexico, he's connected. I mean, you can't be alive as a president in Mexico and not be connected.
Sure.
And, you know, probably one cartel, and it's pretty obvious which one that might be. I don't want to say Sinaloa, but maybe. You know.
Yeah.
So Trump went. Now, Trump is connected. You know, you can't be in the New York builder business without being connected. I'm pretty sure he went there and he said, it's time to talk about something. I'm going to build this wall. And there's going to be a door for people, and there's going to be a door for the drugs.
Oh,
and
shit.
You're going to be, you cannot stop the drugs. But controlling it, having that, you know, or skimming off the top. I mean, HSBC, the banks, everyone's involved in this. So I think it's just, you know, hey, man, we're going to funnel this shit. Take it easy. No big deal. You're going to pay for the wall out of your cut of the proceeds?
Sure. And do you think that that's all is the supposition that it's just too third rail, it's too taboo to talk about legalization and just actually because there'd be a
Well,
bit
I mean
of money.
When you talk about Mexico, we're talking about not just weed, we're talking, you know, coke, heroin, everything's coming in. It's one of the strange things in the United States, but I'll tell you, it was first having grown up in Amsterdam again and most of liberal Europe. You know, like, oh, you Americans, you know, they don't want gay marriage. They're, you know, anti-homo. That's literally the sound the Europeans would make.
You go into the voting booth and it's like, please make a sound of how you feel.
Exactly.
Funny enough, that was Harambe's last words.
Sorry, every time you mention Harambe, I think of that fucking picture.
So what happens is that now in the United States, where, you know, gay marriage is pretty much, we have 8 states left or something.
Yeah,
it's going pretty quick. It's more liberal here for LGBTQIAP, to do the full acronym, than in Amsterdam. And because, you know, the Europe started this multicultural society, you know, 15, 20 years ago, and it's a fucking mess. You know, because now people getting beat up on the street by other cultures who do not like seeing what's taking place. So it's a culture is a word for Muslim, by the way.
Speaking of which, all right, separate side jag.
I
on
got
that.
Really confused.
What's up with the shaming of modesty in France with the burkini that they banned?
Yeah, I was there.
Oh, you were there?
I went. Well, not during the. I went 2 weeks later.
Sure.
Okay.
I went to.
Well, here we go. Our number one burkini correspondent.
Hi, everybody. I'm here on the beaches of Nice. Let me tell you. So. First, I was in Paris a couple of months ago, not long after Bataclan, because whenever there's a terrorist attack, you got to go. It's the best time to go. You're safe. And man,
oh, you mean after, not during the terrorist
attack? No,
after.
Right after.
Because we went to Cannes, France for Cannes Lions, and then that was when they staged their big Uber protest, and like they were like, hey, we're gonna get you to the airport a little bit earlier because they're kind of throwing cinder blocks.
Well, Uber was doing pretty good in Paris, actually. Yeah.
Okay, right on.
It wasn't too bad, and everyone was really friendly. Thank you so much for coming to visit our city. You know, I had a very different attitude towards Americans, but now we love them, and we're we need to change our attitudes in general. But again, having seen what happened in, because I lived in Amsterdam, I lived in Antwerp, I lived in London, and it's the same thing. You have, you know, ghettos, ghettoization really of all different cultures, which are never integrated.
How long did you live in each of those?
How
old were you?
I moved to Amsterdam when I was 7 and was there until I left for MTV, so 22, something like that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, back and forth.
Were you alive? And I'm forgive me, I'm not familiar with the legalization.
Thank you,
no, sorry, that's not where I was headed. But but like, were you around to watch the legalization movement happen in Amsterdam, or that just was always?
It was never illegal.
Was?
What are you talking about? Legalization movement?
Yeah. What?
Yeah. It was just a thing.
It was like this. Hey, man. Is this legal?
Yeah. No, no. The movement was from waist to mouth with the lighter.
That was a whole movement right there.
And it's celebrated to this day.
I'll tell you what. That is one of those.
I was going to go back to the burkinis.
Yes, please.
Yeah, burkinis. Here we go.
But having seen, it's very odd because, I mean, the things that the French say or many Europeans will say, and I'm not talking about the crazy right wing, you know, Le Pen or Geert Wilders or Farage, which, of course, are just, you know, kind of people, you know, guys of the people, in my opinion. When you see your street change literally from colors of Benetton to black garb,
got it,
just shuffling along,
sure.
It's annoying.
Intimidating.
It's annoying. And then, well, I don't know if it's intimidating, but people like, and of course it's their government.
It's a different world.
But, you know, people get the government they deserve, so it's their own fault ultimately.
Yeah.
So, and it's not, you know, whatever it is, but. So the burkini, I really understand where the French are coming from. Like, no, fuck you. No, just no. We got 80 fucking people dead over here. You know, and they're climbing on the rocks. They were trying to come in from Italy near Monaco, and they're climbing on the rocks to try and get into France, and the police are pepper spraying these fuckers off the rocks.
Jeez.
I mean, it's insane what's going on there. Europe, not, you know. It's not a good place long term, I don't think, or medium term.
Well,
they had their time. Enough with them.
I agree.
Oh,
I agree. Old
Jesus.
World. Down with the old. Dicks out for old world.
All right. So then, I guess I'm not really up on the whole burkini thing. So what? They just said, we don't like. We don't like that. This is obviously tied to the Islamic religion.
This is correlated. Yeah.
Yeah.
We want to see it off the beaches.
And right. France, of course, is you know, famous for their semi-nude, complete nude beaches.
Correct.
And the beautiful beachwear, beautiful people.
Sure.
You know. So I understand where the, and it's not a nationwide ban. It's, you know, Paris.
It was on like a
Paris
couple
and Nice.
Beaches. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's really only where it, and Paris has public places for the hijab. Man. That's just, I think the hijab is the scarf, niqab is the thing that goes over where you see the eyes, and
got
then
it.
The burqa is, you know, the Faraday cage.
Got it.
Yeah.
Which is a great product, by the way. Burqa Faraday cage. You're safe.
You got all your NFC devices on the inside.
You're safe.
You're like, come at me, hackers.
You're good to go. Not a problem.
Oh, man. I just remember when we went to Cannes Lions, they had those posters for not peeing
Jesus
in public.
Oh, Jesus Christ, yeah.
What are you guys doing in Cannes?
Google was doing a thing featuring YouTubers, so they asked, like, the slow-mo guys and you know, a bunch of people. They asked me to do my magic show and teach
a
little Scam School. Yeah, a little bit. Have you never seen Scam School?
Yeah, of course I've seen Scam School.
Okay, yeah. So that's, I guess I'm a YouTuber.
I mean, how many subscribers do you
have
on
oldest,
your channel?
I'm the oldest YouTuber on YouTube.
YouTuber? Yeah.
I told some people today as I'm going on Night Attack, and they're like, huh? I said, Brian Buescher, huh? I said, Scam School. Scam School!
Yeah. That was the weird thing where, like, my kids didn't care at all. Like, we did the Hacking the System TV show. Mm-hmm. Nobody gave it. The kids didn't give
a rat's
ass.
That was on TV, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. That was on Nat Geo. And then it hit.
By the way, you have Nat Geos in your bathroom.
I do.
Thank you.
I do. Yes,
very kind
for the
of
kids.
You. That's very kind of you. Yeah. There's good ones.
National Geographic.
There's good ones this month.
Yeah.
There's good ones this month. Big black boobs.
Is that even a thing these days? Like in a world
off
where
the National Geographic.
When you're 52, it still qualifies as a joke. Still,
no, but that's
it's
nostalgia.
It's a nostalgia boner.
It's in your bathroom.
It's like smelling a perfume of a certain lady.
Because by the way, you have double fisting on your phone if you want, right? Like. You know, you don't need to go to the Nat Geo. I just don't even know if that's a thing. Is there anybody under 25 that's jerked off to a Nat Geo magazine?
Man, I wonder if there's...
Bonnie has a knee fetish.
That's a lot of here.
I'm curious. Anybody in the chat room, are you under 25 and have jacked off to a Nat Geo?
Can you open up the Skype line
so if anyone
wants to tell us?
See,
I want a live
Adam Curry
person.
Speaks for the people. Exactly.
Finally, answering the big questions.
I know what's up.
Night agenda.
Yeah, I know what's up.
See, yeah, nobody. Nobody's ever, because this is all prominent pornography online.
Well, let's talk about pornography, because it's pretty great.
You have my attention.
No, okay, so...
you know, my first gig was I dubbed a porn movie.
What?
Yes, and it received a fully erect Hustler award, well, fully erect penis award from Hustler.
Fuck yes, that's amazing. All right,
you dubbed a porn. Explain what dubbing a porn movie is.
Well, first of all, have you ever noticed that any porn before 1990 has like
it's almost like
an ASMR. It's like they're just talking into the mic.
Oh yeah. Oh, so it's like yeah. Uh huh.
I still remember lines from the movie.
Yeah. Go on.
Hold on. Wait a minute. All right, everybody, quiet. Here we go. What's your line?
Hey, baby, I'm from the city health inspection.
And so you were there presumably to inspect the health.
Okay, so
of her tacos.
There was this this guy who I knew who was actually had a record company in Holland, and this I was still on the pirate radio. I was maybe 17 or 18.
But you were doing like full on pirate radio?
Oh yeah. FM pirate radio.
So and how would you hide where your transmissions? Oh
no. Well, so you have to understand that. In the 70s and the 80s, the Netherlands was like, you know, like Russia. You had gray phones. You couldn't get your own phone.
Right.
And there was, you know, there were three government-run radio stations and two television channels. And the television channels would both start at 7 p.m. with, like, the same dude reading the news simultaneously.
Right, right.
And then it would end at, you know, like 11:15. It's like, go to bed, slaves. You're done.
Right.
And the radio station would also start at 7 a.m. and end at midnight, and the top 40 station, which pretty much played polka music.
Right.
You know, like,
but the top 40 polka songs.
You mean the best, right?
Yeah. None of that bullshit old polka.
So you'd have the radio on like 5 minutes to seven, you'd hear, doom, 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 Hilversum 3.
Which meant party's over.
No, Hilversum 3, which was the station.
The station. Yeah.
Just the whole night up until 7 a.m., doom, 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 Hilversum 3.
Wait, so no content?
No content.
Just station ID.
Yes. And the way it was set up is religious groups based upon subscribers to their TV guides. So we had 15 TV guides.
Right.
They would get more subscribers, the more airtime.
Right.
So this sucked balls.
Yeah.
And we had transmitters.
How powerful?
Oh, we had what we called Harry's, and we would get these big tube transmitters, surplus German army transmitters.
Oh, nice.
Which were, I think, the smallest one was 300 watts, then we had...
What the heck, really?
Then we had, later we had a kilowatt. I mean, we had a kilowatt.
Dude, okay, to put it in perspective, like, the most powerful, because my dad had a few acres, and he wanted to listen to his Rush Limbaugh, so he would pirate, the Rush Limbaugh.
It has like 50 milliwatts. So
he bought from Canada. In fact, it's in that closet right now. We have the antenna and everything. It's a 20-watt transmitter. Legally, you can only do like 100 milliwatts, basically.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That's hugely powerful. Yeah.
Well, not when you're doing it yourself, Mr. Brushwood. A salute to you as you sit in your lawnmower.
That's the
El Rush Bowl.
Nice.
Yes.
So okay, so you decide, you get a hold of this equipment, and what is it you decide to transmit, and how?
Oh, well, so again, this is 80-81, and really big at the time were import records. So we got 12-inch imports. You know, but this is the time when Chicago Warehouse, you know, all this Frankie Knuckles, this was all really kind of starting. In fact, Madonna, if you remember, well, maybe you don't, after she banged Jelly Bean and she got her first record deal, it was released already. This was the record with Like a Virgin and Borderline and Lucky Star, and that was released a year before it was re-released in the States and became a hit. And she was over at our station, you know, hawking it, doing Hash Under Glass with everybody, just
no
trying.
No kidding.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, yeah.
God damn, the stories on this one.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I can go all night.
I'm excited. We have all night.
But what were we talking about? Something about the transmitters.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
So anyway, Harambee. You gotta wonder.
Okay, so tell me about the first time that you start broadcasting, and how worried are you? Is it the kind of thing that nobody's thinking about? Well, I assume at the time it's a lot like software piracy was in the early 90s, where it's like nobody was pausing to even consider implications and who was looking.
Well, it was a much more meta moment, really. There's a couple of things that happened at the same time. When I was 15, I had one of these Radio Shack 101 projects.
Yeah, dude, those were amazing.
We had the red wires, the blue wires, different lengths, little springs. You put that shit. And one of them was a transmitter.
Yep.
So I replicated that, built a little, you know, a bigger transmitter, and just had it on at home. And I just put a record on, literally put a record on, to see how far it would go. My mom actually would drive me around the block to see how far it would go.
Yeah,
she would drive me around the block to see how far it went.
Yeah,
very sweet. And the neighborhood kids were like, this is kind of cool. What are you doing? So I'm like, oh, okay. So I built a mixer so I could play two records.
Okay, how do you build a mixer? Because I remember...
Well, the first mixer I built was pretty shit. But, you know, you get schematics and you put it together. I can solder. I'm okay with that.
Right on.
Yeah.
and so you've got some dials in and you're mixing yourself.
And I got a mic and then I just start doing a little bit of shit. I really practiced for years until there was a job opening at a closed circuit hospital radio station.
So, okay.
And they said... Yeah, and it was an ad, and you had to be 16, 16 or 17. And anyway, I wasn't old enough. My parents said, go ahead, and you can lie and tell them you're old enough. And I auditioned as an engineer and as an on-air host, and I did not get on-air host, but I got engineer.
Right.
So, and I was good at that. And there, I met people, and I'm like, oh, my God, this guy's fucking good. And I'm listening, and he said, and, you know, I would do a couple other shows at home, and eventually said, you know, there's this station that I work at in Amsterdam. You should come check it out, and you should do it in English. And so I created this persona, John Holden, black, drove a Harley, 32 years old.
I sounded
pretty black.
So you wouldn't do a voice or anything?
No, it was just me.
Just you.
Just me, yeah.
But people you had the black voice of a 32-year-old motorcycle-driving black
the
man.
The illusion was complete.
There we go. Yeah.
So and
Europe's weird. There's not enough black people.
Right. Am I right in understanding that around that time in the days of radio, and I think I assume it's less true now, but it just seemed like it was assumed that everyone had a fake on-air personality name or whatever, like it was all... Like, I remember in Houston, there was Hudson and Harrigan.
I think that's still the case. Adam Curry's a great DJ name, so I never had to change that.
Right.
But, like, so the guy who hired me at MTV is now the CEO of NPR, and his name is Jarl Moen. But I never knew him as Jarl Moen. That's Jarl Moen.
Right.
I know him as Lee Masters. Hey, everybody, Lee Masters here!
Got it.
Cleveland, how you doing? Yeah, So
if for no, just Jarl Moen
does
purchase.
Sound like a good name for the porn character that you were voicing.
Now, let me tell you about porn. So
he was the toughest mini boss in Skyrim. Jarl Moen, he was
he's a real bitch.
So around the same time, the Netherlands is one of the most densely cabled countries in the world, but it was all central antenna.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd have there would be one antenna. They'd be on the corner of a big apartment building, would feed, you know, like an entire district of one town. It was just, you know, repeaters. And so while we're doing all this radio shit and we're, you know, figuring stuff out, we, you know, basically when you look at your cable channel and then at 11:15 when the television would go off, then a test pattern would come up, right?
Yeah.
But what was happening was the transmitters in Hilversum or wherever they were went off, and the system just knew to throw up a test pattern. But if you turned on a signal... So then the test pattern would go away, and it would amplify that signal throughout this entire district or sometimes an entire
this
town.
This is the same kind of injection hack. We just covered this on...
We were literally sitting with antennas and VCRs.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Aiming
to the repeaters.
The antenna.
Yeah.
And boom. And then, of course, porn.
Oh, my God. That's amazing.
I'm sure you can look it up. You know, pirate porn TV in Amsterdam. It was fucking amazing.
Oh, my God. So you were there for that moment.
We did that.
That's He's amazing. Doing it.
We
no.
were doing a DB
He
TV.
Was the porn okay. injector. Yeah.
What is the...
Yes.
What is the end... what is the end hoped for goal in this moment when you guys are like, hey, man,
we had to show somebody a dick.
No.
Yeah, it was for Harambe.
Dude, yeah, to show somebody a dead gorilla.
Dicks at night.
We had advertising.
Here's how Google searching is. I searched pirate porn TV in Amsterdam and got zero results.
Wow.
Absolutely
we'll try
nothing.
Pirate TV in Amsterdam.
We got safe search on. That's probably.
Pussy. What kind of show is this?
Hey, this is Brian's account.
Ah, there we go.
Uh-huh. Pirates of the Porno Bay.
No, I mean, we're talking 80s, man. We're talking 80s.
We'll see what we can find.
Anyway.
It turns out you find all of the internet with that search.
Exactly. All roads lead to pirate porn in Amsterdam.
Yeah, wow, that's extraordinary. So how did you guys figure this out? Was there somebody that you knew you know, this is the frequency, this is the gizmo?
It was obvious.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the transmitter goes off, and this thing comes up. If the transmitter went back on, then the test pattern would go down. So it was obvious all you had to do was modulate on the right frequency, and you're good to go.
And so are you guys going to the library to get these books in a pre-internet era, or you just know somebody who knows somebody how to make the gizmos that do the things?
We were soldering. And on the weekends, I worked at an electronics store. I sold resistors and transistors. And I actually was able to sell the VIC-20.
Oh,
and,
yeah,
and we
sure,
were hacking,
sure.
Remember hacking the games? You, like, get the ROM. You, like, suck it out onto your cassette tape and, like, bypass the copy protection
they thought they had in there. We had VIC-20s when I was in second grade.
And the BBC would broadcast, you know, the programs for your Acorn.
Oh, my God, they would? Like, and you would just hit record.
Yeah, for, like, 5 minutes, you hear...
Sure, sure.
It's like a modem. Yeah, you know, like 75 baud or something.
God,
even
man,
less,
those
very
crazy
slow.
Days. Hey, hi, I'm old.
yeah.
We're on this team over here.
No, I know. Jeez.
And I did it all while smoking weed.
That's yeah. How old were you when you first smoked weed?
Oh, 13, 12.
And it was just everybody was.
You could also go into a bar and order a drink if you looked 15.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, because it's no big deal. Guess what? It's no fucking big deal.
Yeah. Hey, can I ask you this? So there is, for whatever reason, even as we legalize weed in more and more states, there still is this resistance to just smoking weed in bars. I feel like that's like another frontier of American culture.
Not when
that
I
we
was
have
in
not
LA.
Opened up.
I mean, it's already rude. I'm smoking here in this small studio, but fuck
yeah,
it, I'm
sure.
The guest.
Oh, no, okay. So, no. Okay, no. Well, vape stuff has kind of changed it a little bit.
Now, vape, forget. Vape's going to end. That's going to be a dumb product. Yeah. You know, there's no way anyone
you
can
are
compete.
So you are bearish on vaping.
Well, I vaped for a while. I really like it. A friend of mine makes e-juice and
So you're talking about.
I went to the vape con in Dallas, if you can believe that.
You did.
Yeah, I went to vape con.
How was it? Did you have a booth?
You go in. My friend had a booth. You go in and it's just like this cloud. It's just kind of hanging over everything. They would flip on the, you know, some big switch every half hour or something. But I mean,
just vape the room.
But you see the fucking, and that's where I actually bought it there. And this is a year ago, maybe even longer. The things that blow up the stand on the hoverboard.
Oh, sure.
Like dudes vaping on hoverboards. I'm like, I got to do that. So I got me a hoverboard. I'm vaping around. Like, yeah, it's great.
So then what makes you bearish? It sounds like you had a great, beautiful time.
Oh, because the law changed. You know, they passed a law which basically if you want any kind of although it's not tobacco, the firearms, tobacco, alcohol,
the ATF, yeah.
And bomb
yep,
people.
Yep, yep.
Is F? What is it? Firearms.
Firearms. Alcohol, tobacco, firearms.
They have appropriated all nicotine products, which I think can be contested, but it's hard. So now if you want to launch a product, it's going to cost about $1 million for just a new line of e-juice. You know, what changed to 4% nicotine? You're going to have to go through the test again.
Gotcha.
So it'll be underground. People still make it in their bathtubs and stuff.
Well, that's the problem, right? Whenever you make a law, you just get weasels that are unaccountable for whatever they're doing.
So, and you think, but I mean, it seems like it's exploding that people are vaping all the time.
Yeah, I think So I mean, vaping is going to be a medicinal device. It's going to be classified as such, probably.
It'll be more known for weed smoking than it will be for just people who have like a nicotine substitute.
I don't know. I think the nicotine is a problem. It's a problem.
I don't know, guys. I just got back from DEF CON, and fucking vaping is alive and well.
As long as you don't as long as you have enough nicotine in it, if you just want to have, you know, banana flavor or whatever.
I mean, right.
My buddy makes what does he make? Blow Nut and Blue Waffle. It's all about the branding. The branding is fantastic.
Vape them if you got them.
Yeah.
Do you think there's much to the I haven't paid too much attention. You probably know more about this than I do, but there's talk about, like, you know, vaping's as bad for you as smoking, and I'm like, I can't make that possibly true in my mind.
No, the only thing is that, Gene, what's that chemical called that makes you shit?
A laxative?
Because you told me, you told me about it, and I was like, I got to take a shit all the time.
Chat room will know. What's the chemical that makes you
Olestra?
Shit?
Oh,
Olestra.
No,
that's anal leakage.
Different animal. Yeah. By the way, we should point out.
Yeah, propylene glycol.
Got it.
Propylene glycol, which you need, is really the basic product, the basic vape ingredient, can give you the runs if you use it excessively.
That seems fairly minor.
Okay, but that's not like lung cancer, right? That's a different thing than lung cancer?
Pretty sure.
Because I'd probably rather shit my butthole out and just pee out my butt all day than have lung cancer.
All right, can we real quick side jag here?
I mean, there are people who can smoke.
Is that controversial?
No.
Hashtag join the conversation. And reddit.com/r/diamondclub.
There is popcorn lung. This is true. You can get popcorn lung. And that is something that can be kind of permanent. So when you breathe in, you get a kind of rattly popcorny sound from your lungs.
You breathe a bunch of butter, and then you eat it. It's delicious.
Well, it is the stuff that they make artificial butter with.
Oh, Jesus.
Isn't it, Gene? Isn't that what it is? One of the main flavor ingredients, that all the caramel stuff. It's bad. That's not really good.
Can we talk about the Gene in the room? Because I'm so...
I'm sorry.
In the room.
I wouldn't have brought him in.
No, this is great. So,
this is not just Gene.
This is Sir Gene.
This is Duke.
He's a Duke now?
Are you Duke? Duke of Texas. Baron... De Marriott, Baron Marriott, Sheriff of Austin. Is that it? Something like that. Yeah, Gene's been a big supporter for me.
I'll tell you what. One more title for him, and we'd be in Aleppo territory if you're trying to remember it.
So Gene, how did you?
Not a good one. I didn't even think about it for a second.
How did you meet Gene? Because Gene was we had swapped emails early on, and Gene was an early contributor to the scam stuff. Not Kickstarter, whatever we did.
I was doing the Hot Pockets tour. Yeah.
I don't know about the Hot Pockets tour.
Oh, well, I did a tour with an RV and did meetups around the country. And, you know, we said, wouldn't it be great if Hot Pockets sponsored it? And they didn't, but we still call it the Hot Pockets tour.
It's good.
You know,
it's good.
It's still kind of cool. And I think it was the Hot Pockets tour 2009, even though it was 2012, because that was Obama had just signed. Remember, Obama had just signed his name in the Westminster Abbey, and it did it last year.
Oh no, that? I missed that. Oh, that's hilarious.
It's all 2009 now, according to Obama.
Sure.
Gene, I think that's the first time Gene was like, "Hey, you know, you're coming through Dallas, and I'll hook you guys up. I'll get you a nice room." And take you at the cigar bar, and you know, and yes, he did all that. I was like, oh, this is a pretty cool fucking dude. And then, you know, little did I know, he was a stalker, and he's like moved to Austin to be close to me. Either that, or he's my CIA
handler.
That's the problem,
that's the
real
Gene
question.
Gene has an intimidating physique, and he does think like we go to this business academy,
yeah,
and we find out
a puppy dog.
Okay, that's fine. But we find out that like the room that we're in is named after him.
Yeah,
and then,
oh, yeah. Yeah,
and then he hands me his business card that has no phone number, no email. It just says Gene Naftulev, legitimate businessman.
Right. Yeah.
He's
no,
got
it's true.
Cold
it's true.
Stare that is just like
he's got assassin's
business.
Eyes.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know, Gene. Can you stare in the camera? Stare in the camera real quick.
Give us your assassin's.
Yeah,
look.
Just give it. Yeah. Yeah.
That guy means business.
Hey.
Wait.
Dicks out for Gene.
Yeah. Everybody, get your dicks out for Gene.
Our tacos.
Gene's got a stare that you're expecting at any moment should go black and white like a political ad. Like, it's just like at some moment it's going wrong.
I got it. In all fairness and seriousness, Gene actually influenced and guided the No Agenda show into the period system of Nights and Beyond. That was a lot of his advice. You know, it's like, holy crap, man, this guy's, and he's not just, you know, loaded clearly with chicks and booze and names on hotel rooms, but
can I out what you do for a living? You make successful.
You actually know what he does for a living?
He's a legitimate businessman.
Don't know what he does for a living, and I don't care. He's always like, "Hey man, I got this cool FBI hoodie." Oh, thanks. Hey, man, I got some shredded money from the Federal Reserve. he's like, hey, you want a Glock from Secret Service?
Jeez Louise.
Oh, my God.
I've been having all the wrong conversations with this man.
Brian no longer knows what he does for a living. Brian's like, he's a waiter at Waffle House, right? Like, that's what he told me. He can get me bashed and smashed or smothered and
covered.
Fantastic.
Takes all comers. He's here from the health department.
Finally a good episode of the show.
Yeah, finally. It's all coming home to roost. Hey, speaking of which, now that we've had a good episode of the show, we don't have knights and territories and we're not selling fiefdoms, but if you would like
to
become...
You guys are Patreon, right?
Yeah, that's right. If you want to head on over to patreon.com/knightattack.
I think you guys should be doing at least 2,600 an episode.
Yeah?
I think it's low.
So what's the secret? Help us out here. What do we need to do? We don't want to rip off your knights thing.
No.
Maybe we could sell papal positions.
Yeah.
We could have a pope, some
cardinals. Yeah.
Some Stephen ministers.
There you go.
We're going to mix them all up. We can have some rabbis.
I was going to say, let's just.
Imams.
Yeah, moms. Yeah. High clerics.
And Pastafarians.
Yeah,
Pastafarian high priest.
Sure. Let's not discriminate. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And everybody gets a free burkini.
Which Bonnie will model for us.
By the way, as soon as that was said, all I wanted was just like the beach blanket bingo, like, it's burkini blanket bingo.
We can have auditors from Scientology.
Clear.
Clears is $1 billion. Yeah, no, please, why don't you join our cult? Please head on over to patreon.com/nightattack. Trust that lesbian and that child.
Yes, that Brazilian child and that very, very powerful business lesbian.
Well, you know what where the lesbian thing comes from.
You won't get into that.
Nope.
Yeah, I mean, we can.
No, I won't.
I don't think you guys are talking about the same thing.
Oh, yeah, we are.
We're talking about my balls.
You're talking about your nuts?
Common thread.
You're talking about your nuts?
Yeah.
Nuts out for your wife.
Nuts out to keep having sex is my motto. Right.
Do you buy that? Because, all right, let's reset it. This is something we've talked about on the show before.
John C. Dvorak is a good friend and called very legitimately concerned, saying, like, hey, I heard you're getting a vasectomy. Don't do it.
You know, he didn't like that you told that on the show.
Why?
Yeah, because not the story itself, because he's well known, because we talk about it on No Agenda
all the time.
But he called you as a friend, and then you kind of like outed him that he's concerned about people. He doesn't want anyone to know that.
Oh,
he's cold blooded.
He called
cold blooded.
Sorry, I'm gonna. Yeah.
You understand?
Know what? That story was a lie. The real story is he called to laugh at me.
Yeah.
And he called and he said, "Ha ha, you're gonna look like a lesbian," and then he hung up 3 times.
He called back.
Yeah. Ha. Ha.
Rachel Maddow.
Yeah.
All I gotta say is that Brian is definitely a great lesbian. So he's doing
hold on.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Tacos at nine.
Bonnie's got a new hankering.
Dude. Oh, yeah. Homeboy's going down like Sean Connery in The Hunt for Red October. Periscope down.
Hey, well, this is a very intimate episode of Night Attack. I'm sorry, Night Agenda.
It's a small room.
Patreon.com/Night Attack.
If that isn't worth some money to you, I mean, show me where you went to a movie and got that kind of fucking entertainment for 2 tickets for $50. You bought popcorn, you didn't even get a blowjob. And that is worth money. quality entertainment.
Fair
right
enough.
Here,
thank you to everybody who's doing it. By the way, we will have album tracks that are going out to all the big patrons this week. We are finalizing album listings. We spent all today listening to album tracks. We're going to spend tomorrow listening to album
tracks. Speaking of which, real quick, we should we underpromote that one of the benefits of being a patron is you get the pre-show and the post-show where some of the best parts, I'm going to say 2 weeks ago, best parts of the show were the pre-show and the post-show.
You know what it is? You know how there's like a store that you really like?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and you just, you know, and you like it, maybe you look in the window, but you didn't go in, and then you bought the shit online or whatever.
Yeah.
And then one day the shop is gone.
Yeah.
And you think, fuck me.
Could have
Why didn't I just support this guy?
Yeah, yeah.
No.
There
people
go.
Think about that.
And by the way, for everybody who's just listening to this because they are No Agenda listeners and they're listening to it for Adam, Adam was here for our pre-show, and I'm sure you'll be hanging out here later for the post-show, so it's another reason get on the Patreon.
Post-show.
The post-show, yeah.
Hey, so real quick, how did you meet John C. Dvorak? How did No Agenda come to be?
Well, first I met him... it was a long time ago. Before CNET was a website, it was a TV show.
Before that, an idea.
Yes. And but it was very interesting because I was asked to do a pilot weekend with them out in California. It was Halsey Minor, of course, who famously squandered all his riches off of CNET. Oh, it's a great story. John knows him. I met him, of course, but it's a good story. I mean, hundreds of millions and just bought stupid shit and divorced many. It's a bad story.
I just had a flash and just realized that we get to do this all over again when we get John on the program.
Yeah, this is gonna be good amazing. Luck with that.
All right, we'll see.
And Kevin Wendell, he was the producer, and this is the guy who pretty much cobbled the Fox television network together. Not Fox News, but the original one, which
Fox,
is
all,
the Rabbit Ears Network is what it was called. Yeah, it's the fourth network. And it was it was pretty cool television. It was, and I was there, and Mark Cantor was there. If you've ever met Mark Cantor, but he's a very interesting guy in technology. Like Mae Jemison, the astronaut, and Dvorak. And I'd never met Dvorak, but he was doing this kind of, like a McLaughlin type show. Mm-hmm. Like, that guy's pretty good. So we talked for a little bit. And later I ran into him, I think at Twit. And or maybe I was on Skype. And I don't know if we were in the same room. And at a certain point he says, hey, Curry, what's your fucking deal? Because he'd been reading about me in Dutch press. And, there's a little different, it's a different vibe if you really look at what's going on in the press there. And he says, what are you? Like, people seem to hate you. You rich? What is going on? I said, I think people hate you too, motherfucker. So we should do lunch. And we did. We had lunch, and then we kind of hit it off. He was also looking for a gig, and I was running Pod Show at the time. I was like, yeah, man, totally. He has a good eye for television, very good eye. And we brought him on for some tech stuff. And when I was in San Francisco, I lived in London, I'd commute back and forth every couple of weeks. And when I was back home, we'd get on Skype, and this is 2007, 2008, something like that.
Oh,
maybe
wow.
A little earlier,
yeah.
7 or 8. And I just read the whole Lisbon Treaty, which is supposed to be the constitution of Europe, and there's all this fucked up shit going on. And what the press was reporting was not at all what was in the document. And I was talking to John about it.
Of course, that's perfect for the podcast medium.
We're just talking about it, and I'd read something from the newspaper. And, hey, man, I'll see you in a couple weeks or whatever. And then one day we're chatting, saying, I think John said we should fucking record this. I'm like, yeah, we're crazy. Of course
so
we should record
when
this.
When you're recording, are you thinking at that time, like, we're going to start a podcast and it's going to become a revolution? Or are you thinking, like, let's just record it and we'll figure out what to do with it later?
No, it's exactly that. We just, we're talking anyway. Let's record it. What a waste of good content.
Right.
I think this is interesting to listen to. And I think John said that Mimi, his wife, really liked that. She really liked listening to people's conversations. She's weird.
You're just like pick up the landline. And,
the party line.
That's me. And that may be Mimi. I don't know. No, she's lovely. Then I think, what would we call it? And I was like, we have no agenda, so let's just call it No Agenda. It was literally that easy.
How much has the show shifted?
Oh,
over
my
time?
God, it's completely different.
Right. Okay. So that's
It was what, and now
we literally
what?
In the first 50 episodes said this is the show that has no jingles. I mean, we literally said no jingles. The show that has no jingles, and then all of a sudden we had jingles.
Well, and you guys followed.
So
the very
wait. So that's how it's changed. Is the jingles
is just jingles? No.
Well, no, and also. It really moved more towards media deconstruction because just writes itself. You just look. I mean, the shit that's being said on television and radio is fucking hilarious. So really you just play that and make fun of it and then say, well, here's what I think. Because I like reading legislation. I like reading bills and stuff like that. And it's very easy to find, you know, what things are really about when the press is telling you
something.
Well,
there's also just a different way that you look at it once you've worked in the in media before.
And both of us have standing in media.
Exactly.
More in publishing, but certainly also radio.
Because I know for me, like, I look at things, I used to be a newspaper reporter. Like, I look at things differently because I just understand how.
Dude, I was faking satellite interviews with Janet Jackson in 1983.
Oh, that's amazing.
Oh, it was, you know, you get this tape.
They send you the
U-matic,
generic
B-roll. U-matic, high band U-matic, everybody.
Wow.
And then you just, and I was really good at that. I'd have my, I said, you know, just leave it like that, tighten this one up a little bit, and I'd just have my questions, I'd ask the question, and it would be perfect. We even put in a little, like, satellite static, oh, I think we may have lost our connection. Janet, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Janet? Oh, she's back. Hi, Janet. Good.
Yeah.
So
unedited, we just did it live. Just rolled it live, man.
You guys also followed a very similar trajectory of what Justin and I have gone through in that you're very fan and community driven.
Well, that's the secret to this.
Oh, absolutely.
You're doing the right thing because, you know, I tell you, you cannot monetize the network. I've tried it. You're seeing, you know, all these people trying to do it again. The main problem is there's no rating system that everybody agrees upon, so you're never really going to get full buy-in. You get brand advertising, but once the metrics aren't there and there's question, you're just a small little pot of money and you can never really grow. And if you have a network, then, you know, it's like the top show gets, you know, 90% of everything and all these other shows.
Because it doesn't scale. Because it's only like,
because
it's only about like, okay, but, so you have one big show.
Forget about it. Because they're trying, I try to do this. And then you have an advertising buy across a large swath of audiences and reach, but you really can't prove it. And, you know, well, is it download or listen? I mean, I've heard this shit a million fucking times. You cannot. I don't know how many people listen to our show. I don't know.
Well,
I don't know.
That's what changed for us once we went independent and we went with Patreon. Like, we
and then
honestly
you,
just,
and, but you don't care. You just
exactly.
want to pay your rent.
There's only one
just
number
wanna
we
pay,
care
yes,
about.
You
that's
just
the
pay
Patreon
your rent.
Number.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's the way it should be.
But the
participation, I think we inherently both knew it, being frustrated by traditional media. Mm-hmm. This is what public radio really should be. Not give me $10 and I'll give you a fucking tote bag and stick it in your ass with your tote bag. People want to participate.
Yes.
They want to be in the chat. They want to send shit. They want you to play stuff. They want to be mentioned. They want to be we call our listeners producers for that very reason. They're our producers. They're not really our listeners. They're producers.
Yeah.
Which, by
the
way,
actually have
brilliant.
Producers is a great name. We call ours Harambees. Like, you know, like,
that's kind of weird.
We whip our dicks out.
This is weird. This has gotten weird.
Totes out for Harambe.
So when you guys started and started releasing, how did you, did you always live stream or how quickly did you figure out?
We started releasing.
When you started.
I'm ready to release, John.
Yeah. So how quickly did you start live streaming and start, you know, having the persistent chat room?
The live streaming didn't come until I was in L.A., so I want to say that was probably 2012.
Okay, wow. So that's fairly recent.
Yeah,
that was a big outsized
recent
reaction. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Well, that was also when we decided I was going to do it full time, and John was also going, you know, he still writes columns, but I'm going to do that full time.
So
and
you
so
guys,
we really took quite a leap. I sold my airplane and everything because it took several years to get to
a understandable step. Understandable step.
That
we've all gone through it.
I aspire to say someday.
Yeah. I mean, every once in a while, you got
to
sell your airplane.
Have to sell
get
an
serious.
Come on.
Tighten the belt.
This was the best lesson I, for my
I
daughter.
I swear to God, if we do not get an entire chat room of WPR right now, like every
What's
time I joke about
oh,
her,
Jesus.
I mention.
Right, so,
there we go. Thank God.
I don't know. I think the chat has a pretty good idea,
just
though, that we need for? To...
white people rich.
Oh, okay. I don't need to know why. I got it.
We do.
Yeah.
We do need to provide
tote bags
for our listeners if they sign up.
But wait.
We absolutely do. But every time that Brian's like, anyway, so I got a side of asparagus with my steak, everyone's like, white people rich.
Yeah.
So if somebody's literally mentioning I had to sell my plane.
Hey, so
come on.
You gotta play the song for me, apparently.
Yeah. Oh, wait, do we have the song?
Oh, jeez.
There
it
is. There it is.
Brian is balling.
No.
They don't care how much it is. Because he don't care what the price is, right? living in Texas, got three daughters. White people rich, white people rich. Buy an Xbox One the day it comes out. Woo! White people rich, white people rich. Throw your hands up if you have an accountant. White people rich, fuckers. White people rich. If you have life insurance and you're hooked on the premium. White, people rich, white people rich, white people rich.
So, this motherfucker right over here.
This is what I built my career on. Apparently.
Yeah, that's no, this is
that's
yeah.
true. I forgot is, about that.
So they started freestyling on the show. Bryce, as a fan, puts that together as a song. It's someone else takes every clip of me on the internet ever handling
right,
money
and
makes it into a
nice,
video.
Nice.
Then somebody starts remixing the goddamn video.
Nice.
And then Bryce shows up at South by Southwest saying, oh, Jesus Christ. Bryce shows up at South by Southwest saying like, hey, I'm thinking of moving to Austin. And I'm like, you're hired. Just
yes,
show up.
Yeah.
That might be okay. That's close enough.
It's pretty close. Pretty close.
Close enough.
But the only thing I left out was the part when Bryce's jaw hit the floor when my 10-year-old daughter at the time started singing the White People, People Rich song in front of him.
Excellent.
Not
knowing that he was the one who made it.
Corrupting minds.
By the way, Waffle Abigus in the chat room asks, what kind of plane?
Yeah, what kind of plane was
what
it?
What kind of plane did you sell?
A 182 RG. Cessna 182 retractable.
Let me see that.
CSSNA.
Put RG. It has to be RG.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, none
RG.
Of this fucking no RG shit.
Yeah, RG retractable. It's a very different airplane.
Is this it?
Oh, no. No. That's a. Yeah, it flies like that. Yeah. Like
wow.
That. Yeah. 180 knots was pretty
what,
fucking fast.
How often did you get to fly?
Well, when I lived in London, it was fantastic because just fly over to Amsterdam would be a lot better than going to Gatwick and getting an EasyJet. And I had a real destination.
Man, I can relate.
And I tell you, I was a bad
We've all been there. You want to get from London right. to Amsterdam, you don't want to go to Gatwick. There's got to be a better way.
White people rich. White people rich. White people rich.
White people rich prize winner in Texas. Five girls like
sorry, you were saying.
If you ever die, I want your place.
So you, I assume
love flying.
You get your pilot's license and you're what you're
that
renting.
That was a big achievement. I didn't graduate college or anything, so I decided I can do this. I can really get my and I get helicopter license first, and then I got
helicopter is supposed to be the harder one, right?
Yeah, but I was interested.
Mm-hmm.
I at the time I actually owned a helicopter company. I was really rich. No, I was like
I was so white was back like, in those days. No. It was
I was
amazing.
Fucking. I was like transparent. I was so fucking rich. No longer. You know how you no longer get rich? Start a helicopter company. Very good fucking start.
So wait, so you
were well, beautiful. These are Augusta six passenger twin
gigantic
jet, one pilot IFR. I mean, yeah, really
and
nice.
And you were like renting them to people?
Well, I had an air operator certificate, and I actually built a heliport and really got a lot of shit going.
And where is this?
Amsterdam.
This is in Amsterdam, okay.
And then 9/11 happened.
What is that? I'm not familiar.
it was really Building 7 that was of interest.
The show just collapsed like Hillary
really,
Clinton in Building
really,
7.
Really.
Brian.
All right. So.
So obviously.
First 9/11 happened, and people were not into flying at all.
Sure, sure.
So this was very tough for the marketing.
Sure.
And then, my partner turned out to be not, his name wasn't his real name, and he ran off, and he had no more money, and he was wanted by the Scotland Yard for grand theft auto and all kinds of.
We told a story about somebody who
larceny.
Defrauded us, and they're like, how do you get defrauded? I'm like, what was the scam? I'm like,
he was my friend for 8 years.
Exactly.
Eight fucking years.
It's called the scam of befriending someone for 3 years and building up trust and then violating
and he,
that
he,
trust.
And he had actually sold an internet company to France Telecom. And so, you know, I was kind of out of my first company at the same time, so we were hanging out. And anyway, I also built a data center. I was ready. We had everything good to go. It was called the Data Barn. It was fucking great. On the AM6, everything was anyway.
So this is the helicopter. Company,
so no, we had a couple of companies.
Gotcha.
So
okay.
That
okay.
had to go away because he was broke and gone. And I was like, oh fuck, I'll try and keep the helicopter company going because I kind of like it.
Mm-hmm.
And but I had to scale down to one pilot.
White people rich. We've all been there. You've got too many pilots.
And
the payroll's just not working out.
So I had new marketing, and I had this a female ex-military pilot. She looked fucking hot. And had, you know, my wife then made like hot jumpsuits for her. And then we had our customer service girl, and she also looked, maybe it looked rotor jet. Maybe there's a picture of rotor jet pilots.
Probably people shitting on you in the chat room.
No.
Only one pilot? Come on. What a clown show.
And anyway, so she developed a fear of flying.
Is that a thing that can happen?
Yes, and it happens. Because you know, of course, I didn't. You know, I'm going to fire you. Let's go to psychologist. And what the fuck is going? I mean, it was bad.
Yeah,
and she was she flew in Apaches, and so she's flying my fucking helicopter. And she's got fear of flying.
Yeah, you know what?
It has to do with certain age, particularly with women. It has to do with if they don't have children, and there's some other sexuality stuff in there. She told me all this. I'm like, well, that blows.
Man, I wish you could see the joy on Gene's face right now.
By the way,
before they have kids. Before they have kids.
There is just a very distinctive laugh, like coming into my right ear right now. It's just like,
I'm not slurring. Maybe I need a little more liquid.
No, I totally believe that, because I had never had anxiety attacks ever until you know, we got to the point where, you know, the TV production and the difficulties that come with all that stuff. That stuff can strike, and there's no logicking your way out of it.
Flying a helicopter,
yeah,
is not a good idea.
Yeah.
I think she still has not flown to this day.
Wow.
Yeah. Aww. So anyway, I looked up and went like, okay, God, I get it.
Yeah.
But I still want to learn how to fly because I like it. So
yeah.
That's
so wait,
when I
you were running all these companies and had not learned yourself?
No.
Okay, wait, hold on, pause. Wow. Have you come back in contact in any way with the guy who ran off?
He's dead.
You? He died.
Yeah, that's in Colombia.
So there's no chance we can get him on the show right now.
Then who's calling, right?
Hello, no, caller.
Caller, you're
from Colombia.
Hello.
No, Cambodia.
So you just found out he was dead. There was no reconnection or anything?
No,
like,
never.
Past that?
Never.
Because
I was pretty pissed off.
Because I would imagine when something like that happens, like... you know, where even is your mind when you find out that he's dead?
I got sick. You know, I went to our...
This sounds like a hilarious story.
No, I'll tell you what.
So we had a nice place in Amsterdam, and then I went to our castle in Belgium.
As one does.
Go.
So drafty.
Just have castles. The music. Just have the music ready to go at any moment. So anyway, you're in your castle in Belgium. That's where you dwell.
That's right, the helipad.
The helipad.
Adam,
yeah.
You have no idea how happy I am that you're here.
Yeah.
It's like when the sun outshines the moon. It's like all the attention.
I think you're going to go to $3,000 in Patreon. This is
a good one.
We'll still be poor.
Who is this in the chat room? Papa Bouvet, only one castle? I love that this chat is so amazing, because it doesn't matter where you go, to north, to south.
For everyone in the family. And
oh, no. By the way,
buy
all your iPhones right now. I'm buying an Apple Watch. Like, while the cloud cover's high, I'm buying a new Apple Watch. I'm buying a new iPhone. Brian's buying a MacBook. We're all buying a lot of things.
Castle.
So anyway, about your castle.
Only one, though.
One castle.
Timeshare.
Come on. He's not ostentatious.
So you went to White Castle.
Yeah. So, but it was
White Castle.
It was kind of like March, so it was, you know, just cold and misty. And you know, first
the tapestries weren't inspected.
First I was physically ill, because it was a big jolt. And I got bladder infection. I mean, and my wife and daughter, they didn't come down to visit me. I'm like, fuck him. You know, let him go sit there and figure it out. It was bad.
Wow.
But then I had this, like, whole Rocky thing. You know, and then I'd get up in the morning.
You'd punch meat.
Yeah, well.
And you eat raw eggs.
I'd run through the castle grounds. Through the maze.
Best decision we've ever had, having this man on the show.
So you'd run the castle grounds.
But you have to understand the funny.
You would have your daily constitution.
I'm snotting myself.
It's fine. It's good. You could pay somebody to wipe that off for you.
I'm literally crying. Thank you, Bonnie. I'm crying. You guys
If you just pulled out $200 bills and wiped your nose, it would be the best podcast ever.
Thank you very much.
Oh. That's a nice hanky. Is that cashmere?
Holy shit. Bryce is getting gully.
Dude, he wrote the song on it, man.
He did.
Are you kidding me?
Oh my god. All right.
So you decide to fly a helicopter.
Right. And you know, there's a lot of guys who want to learn how to fly, and they learn how to fly, but they never get their license because it takes them actual fucking work. And
right.
It's annoying. These are like 2 weeks of real studying, and then the test is a little intimidating, the written test. The flying test is pretty easy. I mean, I did my test up in Portland, and, you know, it's like, it's a friendly inspector, you know, it's like, hey, how you doing? We're all buddies, and go fly around. It's like, hey, man, take it on to 500 feet. There's a girl there who is sometimes she's sunning, she's out there topless. Does it go? That's my test.
Yeah.
I'm literally flying 500 feet to look at chicks.
When we got
with the examiner.
When we got our motorcycle license. No.
All right. Oh, no. I'm not even on the radar.
Sorry.
Me?
Not on the same level. But when we got our motorcycle license, they would do this thing where they would like, let's practice for the test. And they were like, well, if this was the test, you would need to put your foot down or whatever.
Oh, right.
And then
right,
they get
right,
to the
right.
end and they're like, psych, you all passed the test.
That's great.
Yeah.
So like that was the test.
It's kind of like a license to learn, really. But of course, until you have a fully qualified flight instructor who signs off on you,
right,
you're not going to get insurance. You're not going to have your own plane, even if you have a license. So there's a lot more work to be done.
How many flight hours have you logged, and how in your schedule did you make flying a regular part of things? Was it always just for grins or for travel?
Always for travel.
Yeah?
Yeah. I think I have 2,700 hours.
Wow.
Probably now about even on fixed wing and rotary. I even flew a Chinook in Iraq. That was pretty fucking badass.
Jeez.
That's Iraq, Texas?
Wow. How? Okay, you can't let that slip by. Tell me, how did that happen?
Maybe you'll have to
white
have me back
brave.
For that. Oh,
yeah. White people brave.
White people brave.
American patriots. American patriots.
Well, this is a radio story, so it's okay. So, yeah. 2003, a friend of mine was contracted to do the morning show. Actually, funny enough, on the station that we worked at together back in the 80s, which had new owners, but it was still the same brand. And he had to go into rehab. So I said, yeah, no problem. I'll do the show for a couple months. And it turned out to be a year. He's back now and everything's good. So real happy. And, you know, so it was a morning show. And first of all, I had a motorcycle. I had a motorcycle accident, a motocross event. So I had really fucked up my insides and I didn't want medication. So I just smoked weed and like really helped. I mean, I couldn't shit straight for a year. It was really bad. So I did this morning show and had my guy would drive me, but I'd be getting high, you know, at 3:30 in the morning on the way to the show.
Sure.
And so we're doing the show. And it was great show.
Where is this?
That was in Amsterdam, but I was living in Belgium.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
It was a pretty good morning show. You know, at least I thought so.
Yeah, sure.
I thought it was hilarious.
Right. And there was this news report about a Dutch Marine who were in Iraq, along with the coalition, and he had shot a civilian accidentally or whatever, doesn't matter. But they wanted to try him in civilian court. And we're just reading this news item like, hey, man, that's bullshit. So in America, we support our troops, you know, and we have USO, and we get cool people like Bob Hope, and, you know, we should go over to those guys right now. We should bring strippers and, you know, have some fucking fun.
Yeah.
And we're like, yeah, good idea. And after the show, the Ministry of Defense had called, and they said,
No, by the way.
To the strippers, but yeah, we'd like you to do that.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So we broadcast the show live for an entire week, and every day we got to go somewhere. And then one time was to Basra, which that was a pretty hot zone at the time. and the heli detachment of the Dutch Marines was there, and they knew that I had a license and said, "All right, man, we'll fly you guys back, but you fucking fly."
Oh, that's great. So it's like you were already moving. The controls were there. They knew that you knew what you were doing.
Yes.
And then they,
that's
great.
Yeah.
So was this through like the MWR program? This was actually a military thing?
It was the first time the Dutch military had ever done something like that.
Got it.
So they didn't have any program of like troop morale?
No,
or
no, none know. At all. And what was actually even more fun, well, to this day, I still have, because we interview Marines during the show and stuff, talk about what's going on. And parents still come
they
up to me.
They just don't understand.
No, I get emotional.
I get emotional
about it.
Yeah, okay.
No, parents come up to me and say, you know, thank you. That you really built a bridge with my child while he was there. And I was very worried. And, you know, and that was incredibly cool. On the other hand, since we had the satellite bidirectional, I had brought one of my transmitters, a 100-watt transmitter. Believe it or not, I still had one. And we put it there, and we put the radio station on and broadcast it to the whole Samoa province. You know, there was the only radio station was a... And so we were just blasting this out. But you saw...
Those parents.
But you saw people, you saw Marines sitting in a circle around a radio.
Man.
Just listening to the radio. Because, you know, they'd heard all the CDs, they'd seen all the DVDs, and they were just listening to, they're like, oh, man, just to hear Dutch traffic reports.
That's the...
It gave me a whole different idea of what it is to be there.
I think one thing that Justin and I are both acutely aware of is that, you know, we exist by the grace of some cosmic misunderstanding that allows us to make a living... doing horseshit on you know, trying to make each other laugh and hopefully making other people laugh. And there's those brief moments. One of the things I have, I'll show it before you head out, is I have a little drawing made by a kid in at a military base in Italy. Because for the MWR program, they had me go to like you know, I don't know, 8 different stations, and it's like you say, sure, I'll do my silly magic act at it, whatever, who cares. And then all the parents and the kids file in and you do your, you know, you escape from your straitjacket and you say your jokes or whatever. And then there's that moment where where you realize how profound it matters to them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it doesn't matter what your thing is, if you're a juggler, if you're a magician, if you're a DJ or whatever, but it's like it profoundly matters to them. Mm-hmm. And then I don't know, I understand why you would get choked up in that moment, because that's absolutely
WMR. Is that like a casual encounters category on
Craigslist? A morale welfare or something or other.
But men, women, reptile.
The weird part is because it's not, USO is a private organization that works with the military.
Right. Okay.
MWR is the military, which meant they made me a temporary military ID, and they gave me mission orders.
Yeah.
And it was like,
that's
mission
cool.
statement,
yeah, yeah.
1400, report to the gym, 1430, perform magic show. And then it says, mission accomplished at the bottom. It was extraordinary.
There's a 30-minute documentary that you can find on YouTube. It's called Operation Iraqi Sunrise.
Uh-huh.
And you know, you can see the 30 minutes of that whole experience that I had.
Oh, wonderful!
Yeah, we filmed it and just on our camcorders and shit, and then we you know, just cut it together and put some music to it. A lot of
All right, random question.
There it is, Operation Iraqi Sunrise. There
we're trying to get it.
Well, you're like starting at the end. What the fuck is that? Go back to the beginning.
You're ruining it.
Yeah, you're ruining,
Rosebud's a sled.
Oh, I'm sorry. Do we want to watch this whole 20 minutes? Okay.
Look at it now, man. Just crank up the sound, bro. There you go.
Dude, that's amazing footage. What an experience.
Tussen 16 en 20 februari 2004.
Do you speak Dutch?
Yeah, fluently.
Right on.
All right. Someone just texted me to ask you about fencing.
I thought you were... Really?
Yeah, is that a thing?
I was pretty good as a kid. I was a fencer.
Are you a fencer?
Not anymore. But
you could sell
when
any stolen good you mentioned.
When I was, it was 11 or 12. I was like junior champion, national champion.
So this is the same time that you are pirate radioing and injecting pornography into the neighborhoods.
No, because I was 12, so just I was. You know, still, eventually the pornography took over the fencing.
All of a sudden he started whipping around a different sword.
Like, exactly. What the fuck?
So was that, that was just something that happened when you were a kid?
Yeah, it was like they came to school to demonstrate, you know, and like, and of course, anyone who didn't get to do the demo, you're like, oh fuck, I'll take your free lesson. You went there and like, yeah, it's pretty cool, and it's a pretty cool sport. And I'm not very athletic or coordinated, but you can, yeah, you can.
I'd imagine
can do
that's
okay.
The same skill set for flying a helicopter or whatever is precise responses,
which is the same skill as ballet, actually. So ballet, fencing. Helicopter, it's all very similar.
Were you always comfortable talking on a microphone, or was there any aspect of that that you had to build up a rhythm, a set of routines to do?
I can remember the first time I heard myself on tape, and I think I was 5, and I wound up at 6 years old buying this little tape recorder from the kid who did that for me. And it was some jacked up thing, and the batteries, if they fell out, then it would never work again. I had to call him and have him fix it. And I can't remember what I paid for it or trade it or... But, you know, I was always fascinated by reel-to-reels and everything. Yeah, so very early on, I was recording stuff, doing echo loops.
So, but I guess my question is, for me, as a live stage performer, it began on the street, and there were 10 people there, and I saw 10 pairs of eyes, and I knew where they were looking at all times,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Every time I would ever do a TV appearance or a radio thing, super intimidated because, as far as I was concerned, the whole world was on the other side of this microphone. Eventually, we got to a place in podcasting where we knew for a fact nobody was listening, and it emboldened me to speak candidly. Mm. Did you ever feel that? Were you ever intimidated by your reach?
No.
Or okay,
never.
So you are always, it's always in the room. You do your thing, and whatever goes out there goes out.
Yeah, which I enjoy. I mean, television kind of happened by accident. Really, was not looking for that at all. But I remember when I was John Holden, the black DJ on the Harley.
Sure.
Some kids, and I was like considered a real loser at school, like super fucking loser. Loser.
And did anybody?
Fucking loser. Like, they pissed in the teacher's coffee pot and blamed me.
Wait, you?
I was that guy. I was that guy.
Because I don't know why a 35-year-old black man belongs in your school at all. Why is he even there pissing in coffee pots?
I know. Put him back on his Harley and get him the hell out of here. This is inappropriate.
And not long after that, someone had figured out that that was me, and then I was very cool all of a sudden. I'm like, oh,
so you had the real
that's
life,
how it works.
You had the real life Spider-Man experience.
Fucking
you
A,
were Peter
yeah.
Parker during the day and Spider-Man at night.
And
that's
I can stand right now. I am Peter Parker. No one recognizes me. You were talking about the other day about being recognized.
Yeah,
get used to it, motherfucker, and start to embrace it and live with it. Otherwise, get out.
Yeah.
You got to embrace it.
And by that, he means get out of life. Like,
Well, I'll tell you what, man. It's one of those things that you don't realize that it means best behavior all the time, everywhere. Every comment, every forum, every personal interaction, every, you know, because you have what you think is a totally anonymous interaction. You know, like, oh, hey, okay, give me 20 condoms.
Now, here's the difference. Here's
big titty
the difference.
Whores,
no,
and
here's
then
the
out,
difference. No,
and
no,
he's
no.
like, I enjoy your show. And you're like, fuck.
See, the difference is. I was always dependent upon someone else who could fire me if I said something inappropriate or did something that offended someone and word got back.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like that for you.
No, correct.
Sometimes
more than others.
You don't
like,
have to fear termination.
Yeah, no, I've always been, ever since, last time I had a real job was May of 99.
You know what this is?
No,
this is white people rich problem.
God damn it.
This
is
PR.
This
is
PR. Oh, I'm famous. I don't know how to handle it.
Not working. Nobody's buying it.
It's so jarring. I don't know. Oh.
All right.
You know, all of a sudden, it's like, I have to be on my best behavior.
Okay.
Bonnie.
Diamond Time is where we get to shout out your projects in the Diamond Club community. Head on over to diamondclub.reddit.com. The top three posts on the sticky post that says Weekly Diamond Time Submissions. We'll shout out right here live on the show. Justin, why don't you take the first one here?
Sure. If Bryce can actually scroll down here.
There we go.
I will read it. The Jen says, writes, hello, Diamond Club. I'm one of the three awesome females that started a podcast called Geek Grills. We discuss geeky things, comic books, video games, live sex, you know, nerd stuff. Our most recent episode featuring the one and only Willie Dills Gregory, and we are only 16 episodes in. We can't wait to get more feedback and continue to share our opinions and good times with more friends. So what do you say? You go ahead and check them out. GeekGrills.com, also on iTunes, Stitcher, etc. And if you like it, then feel free to support, review, and share.
Right on. Yeah, that's Geek Grills. All right. What else we got there, Bryce?
Give me one sec. We've also got this from MJ Audio.
NJ.
MJ Audio, you gotta scroll up a little bit.
Yeah,
there we
I'm
go.
To...
There we go. MJ Audio says, salutations, Diamond Club, along with two of my very good friends. We host a podcast called Vocabularian. It's a show dedicated to playing with words, which mostly means we make a humorously awful wreck of the English language and puns. If this sounds like a good time to you, you can find us on iTunes, Google Play, and at bit.ly/vocabularian, a.k.a. yellow420.com/wordswag.
Because, by the way, the sheriff of Diamond Time, California Carl, who makes sure all the links come in the way that they should, says... Vocabularian is a hard word to spell.
Yeah, I love that he was on the fence. He was like, I don't know. Vocabularian is a hard word. How about YOLO420/word swag?
And finally, Drum Dude Nathaniel. Greetings, Diamond Club. I work for a nonprofit youth percussion ensemble based outside of St. Louis. Freedom Percussion aims to provide activities that enhance personal growth and development through excellence in education, entertainment, and competition. Those who perform with freedom get the opportunity to excel musically, grow mentally, and create lasting relationships with their peers. We are currently competing in a contest to win a new floor to perform on. This would save us thousands of dollars and is only a couple of clicks. You can go to bit.ly/freedomtarp. Yeah, Freedom Tarp. Then scroll down to Freedom Percussion and vote. If you're feeling really sympathetic to the arts and want to donate to us to help us purchase new equipment, you can head to freedompercussion.org and click donate. We are 100% funded by donations, and our staff doesn't receive a penny for their time.
Hey, man, I got a quick plug of my own I would like to throw in there.
Well, please, go ahead.
This is a big, big week. Some of you guys have been enjoying. Everyone's asking when there's going to be a season two of Hacking the System. We haven't gotten the phone call yet, but we're not waiting. So we did The Modern Rogue, and we've got, what, 9 months of episode, 8 months of episodes. Super, super happy with how it's going. It's really, really good. We're moving it to its own channel. It's not going to be part of the Scam School channel anymore. It's going to be its own channel. To be honest, I think this thing has the potential to blow up and be even bigger than Scam School, but I need you guys right now to head on over to bit.ly/modernroguechannel and subscribe. If you're already subscribed, there's one more thing you can do. This Friday, I'll be doing an AMA, an Ask Me Anything on Reddit. Please participate. 10 a.m. Central Time. At reddit.com/IAMA. Brian Brushwood, Ask Me Anything. Just participate. Let's make that a real party that gets popular on the front page. We'll get a lot of people interested in The Modern Rogue, and Bonnie looks like she has something to offer.
Oh, yeah. Anyways, that'd be great. I was queuing up for next. Are you finished?
Yeah, I'm done. Yeah, you're on.
I'm I'm going to, for the first time, be on somebody else's podcast tomorrow night.
Oh, my God. Are you?
Yeah.
She's cheating.
I am. I'm stepping out
to
Ritual.
We have an open relationship when it comes to
podcasting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to Ritual Miseries podcast. It's on Diamond Club tomorrow night. I don't really know how all this stuff
Ritual
works,
Misery podcast. No,
you have a network? Is this the Diamond Club podcast network?
Technically, we're not a network. What does it say on diamondclub.tv? What I think it says a community-driven network of independent podcasts or something like that. Basically, we serve at the pleasure of this insane demon hordes of the internet that call themselves Diamond Club. They're absolutely wonderful.
I mean, they built the site.
They
run
the site.
Oh,
they decide who's on what.
Excellent.
We serve at their pleasure.
I like that.
Yeah.
Bonnie, do you have allergies? Did I understand this?
Oh, my God. Who told you that?
I have horrible allergies. Aww. Yeah. What's yours?
Well, we have 3 children with food allergies. So,
okay.
Yeah,
and then all the
other allergies.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. We got.
You gonna bust it out for?
He knows about the Bonnie is a musical artist.
I know.
I
have heard her musical styling.
Oh my God!
Yes, I have. I'm very impressed.
Yeah, do you have a sample, Bryce, that you can bust out? So MC Allergy, of course, is Bonnie's alter ego, where she brings the punk rock attitude to stuff it in the face of Big Allergy, who love. Hey, I'm surprised you haven't chimed in. You haven't chimed in on the whole EpiPen thing.
Didn't we have a whole thing about it? Jesus.
Yeah.
I think we had a whole segment on that.
2015. Yeah. I was coming up.
I'm in a track.
All right, here we go. This is MC Allergy.
Yeah. Oh, geez. No, this is not the best one. That's fine.
Oh.
Whoa.
This is terrible. Wow. Don't put the worst
MC
one.
Allergy.
Oh, I'm sorry. Do you have a single that you want to plug?
There's only one phrase.
Drop it.
I'm waiting for the beat.
Oh,
here you go.
Yeah.
I go.
This is our...
I gotta tell you.
Yeah. This is that's the dope rhyme I heard, yo.
Put that on the album art.
Adam Curry says,
that's the dope rhyme I heard, comma, yo.
This is our shared asset between the No Agenda community
and thank you. Can I thank you?
Oh, sure, for what?
Things, yeah. Couple things.
All right, go ahead.
Plugs. First of all, thank you for introducing me to the world of virtual reality.
Oh,
the
my God.
The first good experience
I've
ever had.
Kids. It was amazing. Yeah. And for the record.
It's the Valve?
The Vive. Valve.
I mean, I know shit about this.
Sure.
I mean, I'm saving my pennies for this.
Well, it was.
That's some nice shit.
We might have to lease a few weekends at the castle to finance a Vive.
Seeing your reaction,
I totally want to do that high.
Was so,
I totally want to do that high.
Oh,
set it up. That's great.
Don't worry. Sorry, but you were saying thank you. That's very kind.
So on No Agenda, we're very free to do everything we want. I'm engineering the show, so it's very nice just not have to worry about a fucking thing and just come on a show. And this is the first show where you've actually allowed me to be completely myself. I know if friends of mine are watching, they're going, is Adam. That is actually the Adam we know.
Sure. Yeah. Well, and I used to live switch NSFW and BB Live show, and then once we did Night Attack and Bryce started producing, that was a weird transition to make, but there is so much, there is a bit of freedom, the character changes, but all of a sudden when my only job is to be thinking about what's funny
and
not
easier.
Thinking about, you know, keeping everything alive, it's a lot more fun.
No, we also, we have a certain type of show and a certain type of content. So, if we're funny, then we're just really lucky. But, I really wish we were, winning under comedy category because I really want to be funny.
But, first of all, tonight was any indication.
I have not
you've got some natural talent there.
I have not cried laughing. I usually cry for achievement. I'm a really weird crier. Like sad shit.
He's crying about how he cries.
Listen, sad shit. Nothing.
Nothing.
Dead people, guts coming out, dog dead. Nothing. If I watch The Voice, or if I watch America's Got Talent, and some kid, I know how it works. I know it's fucking bogus.
Sure.
I saw Dancing with the Stars. I saw a rich NFL player succeed with his first dance. I'm like crying for the rich NFL guy.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm very.
I don't know what that is. That developed that in the past couple of years.
It's called empathy. That's the word. Empathy.
Yeah.
Well, no, but only specific empathy. Any empathy that also requires a line producer to bring to Adam apparently is really what tickles his sweet spot.
I think it's to meet my girlfriend, really.
Well, dude, that'll definitely happen because I've noticed
she's
that everything
really
changes.
I've really changed.
How long has that been?
16 months.
Oh, all right. So new. Relatively new.
Well,
right?
When you have that new relationship, and weirdly for me, it's been with my daughters. It's like you have a daughter, and it's like it's a food processor piece of mush, and then at some point it becomes a person, and you fall in love with that person, and you realize I don't know. There's something about that. Like now there's a psychological backdoor. I don't care how cheesy the production, how cheesy the movie is. There are a few buttons you can press, and just instant water works.
Yeah, maybe that's a part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you have boys and girls?
Girls.
All girls.
All ladies. Yeah. Man, I don't even go compete.
You know what they say is, boys break your shit and girls shit in your heart.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
That's
sounds right. He actually has that inscribed into his castle in Belgium.
I have a wall of bricks.
A wall of bricks that settles it. A wall of bricks. It's a good idea. So
right.
We should do that.
We should
finance something that way.
As weird as it is to say this, there's some part of our community who's hearing you for the first time.
Yeah.
Would you like to
give
plugs? Where can people get more of your lovely talents?
Wow.
Buy a helicopter.
That was like a really
that's
bad Jimmy
one.
Kimmel
Sorry,
setup for
yeah.
the plug. NoAgendaShow.com.
That's it.
That's
one.
And now, for people who have never heard No Agenda, people who only listen to this show, how would you describe No Agenda?
Better than this show.
Yes!
Just that simple. Just
that
simple.
Setting that bar low.
Although this particular episode...
We're looking good.
Elevated.
No, but I like what you're doing. This is very enjoyable.
Right on, man.
Yeah.
Well, dude, it was a real pleasure.
Is it over now?
I think we're done. They're gonna wrap up the real show.
Like,
we'll hang out with all this emotional stuff. We gotta go out with, you know, Harambe dicks out
gonna,
something.
Gonna
I mean,
play the lullaby.
Oh,
I think,
yeah.
I think
this,
we'll
this
hang
mean we're over?
This is our ending show. Post show goes on.
Post show goes on.
All right.
But
yeah, because my driver doesn't pick me up until 11.
And that's just to drive him to the helipad.
Because
now he's high enough to get it up.
Hi, everybody.
To Adam Curry.
NoAgendaShow.com. Thursdays live at 11
Justin,
in Austin, Texas.
Thank you for flying out for this special event,
man.
Nice. It was amazing.
Thank you, Bonnie.
Do me a favor, beautiful people. Die in a fire.
See you next Tuesday.
Adios, mofos.
Oh, Justin Robert Young, every time you go, I get so sad that I wanna drink a warm glass of Drano. Night attack, 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 night attack.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.